brighter. Good morning, everybody. The microphone goes from one extreme to the other with me. It's either too high or too small. But anyway, it's lovely to see you all here this morning. Just a few notices before we begin. The notice sheets for September, I'm sorry they're late, but they are now available in the meeting room, and they have been emailed out to those of you whose email addresses I have. If I don't have your email address and you'd like me to have your email address, please let me have it at the end of service and I'll add you to my list so you get all the stuff that I send out throughout the month. The only main one I need to point out to church members is our church members meeting is this month, and it will be on the 21st of September at 7:30 here in the church building. I'd like to say thank you to everybody who's arranged lunch for us today. If you haven't put your name down and wish to stay for lunch, I'm sure there will be enough for everybody. So just see Caroline Isles, who's in the kitchen at the minute after service, if you'd like to join us. You'd be more than welcome. And I'd like to hand you over to Simon, who has agreed to lead our harvest service this morning. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to see so many people here this morning. And I think we've got to start by taking note of just how much food has been donated. It's an absolutely fantastic amount. So thank you very much for that. Okay, so obviously things have changed this week since I started preparing the service for you. So I think it's appropriate and only right that we actually have 2 minutes of silence to remember our Queen. After which I will pray. So if you'd like to stand, if you're able, for our 2 minutes of silence. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, exchanged the glory of heaven's throne for the form of a servant, we thank you that you gave our Queen a heart to serve her people and kept her devoted in this service beyond all who were before her. Encourage us by her example to serve one another, Lord, and to seek the common good, until you call us again to reign with Christ in your eternal glory. We pray too for our new King, Charles III, who repeated the promise to serve that his mother did. Lord, we ask that you will be with him, guide and protect him as he now takes up this position of service to the nation. We think of his close family, mourning the loss of a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. And Lord, we lift them to you. As we turn our thoughts to you now, Lord, we give you the honour and the praise. We thank you for the harvest laid out before us, for the things you have given us and your provision. We ask for God's presence today, Lord, that you will be with us. Touch our hearts and speak to us today. Amen. The psalmist writes, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. So as it's harvest, I thought about the hymns to start with, and what better way to start a harvest than with "We plough the fields and scatter." be seated. So, what does harvest mean to you? Does it mean corn in the field? A combine harvester or a tractor, maybe? Autumn? What about the end of summer? So what does harvest mean to you? What does it mean? So the book of Leviticus describes the Sukkot, which symbolises a wilderness shelter, commemorating the time God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness. Does it mean that to you? Possibly not. But the Sukkot was a celebration, a joyous time, where they remembered how God had fed them and protected them and provided for them after the Exodus. In more recent times, we celebrate the goodness of God. And now currently, we bring our gifts to share with others. Previously, we maybe had a crop and we shared those sort of things, but now we've got all sorts of things from, well, nappies to dishwasher tablets to potatoes, kettles, absolutely everything. And how wonderful that is, that actually it's not just, sorry, I'm moving around too much for Zoom. I was told to stand still. Right, so how wonderful that is that we can celebrate in all these different ways and that we don't farm and we don't have crops anymore, but we can bring gifts. We can bring all of these things to share with the people that don't have as much as we do. So again, what does it mean to you? Too quick. What does it mean to you? Is it a field of corn, combine harvester, autumn, end of summer? Or is it actually a celebration, an opportunity to bring things for people less fortunate and to remember just how fortunate most of us are? Okay, so I'm going to do a harvest quiz today. Many of you know I've got an allotment. I'm quite into plants, so I thought I'd just test your knowledge on these plants. So, you've got to identify the following as a seed or a weed. Now, this sparked a lot of controversy, shall I say, in our household as to what was a seed and what was a weed. So, we'll clarify that now. A seed is something that you can buy from the shops, from a garden centre. A weed, not so much. Okay, so the first picture. Who can tell me what this one is? It's a seed, is it? Okay. Yes, it is. Who can tell me what it is? No, it's not spinach. It's one of my favourites. Not beetroot. Not kale. Not rocket. Can we see what it is, please? It's horseradish. Oh. How many of you have seen it round the fields and round the sides of the road? You'll see it. It looks like dock, but the leaves are about this long. And they have a twist. So that's horseradish. That one's a seed. Next one. An easy one. Seed? Yes. What is it? It's sweet corn. Well done. Next one, please. So this one's a weed. This one should be easy after the first one. It's a dock leaf. Okay. Next one. Ah, now this one's a tricky one. I need Derek to be quiet for the moment. Can anyone other than Derek tell me if this is a seed or a weed? What do you think, guys? Seed or weed? 50-50. Seed? Anyone else? Anyone on Zoom? Can they reply on Zoom? Zoomers? Can they text? Who's on Zoom? Amy. Amy? Can they reply on Zoom? Nobody's replying. They're asleep. Come on, Zoom. What do we think this one is then? Seed? Weed. Ooh. 50-50. So let's see what it is. It's a seed. Can anyone tell me what it is? It's a bit of a tricky one, this. It's not a gooseberry. I'm going to put you out of your pain. This is the fruit of a potato. Did you even know it had fruit? Some people are nodding, so I'm not completely mad. It's useless. We don't eat it. We eat the potatoes underneath. But on the top, there is this fruit. Sorry, it was a bit of a tricky one, that one. Next one. Weed. Weed. We all know what that one is. What is it? Some of the younger ones. Neve. Dandelion. Well done. Next. Oh. Seed or weed?
Weed.
Nasty one, this one. What is it? Stinging nettle. Next. Ah. So what's this one? Seed. Everyone seems to think it's a seed. Can anyone tell me what it is? Run of beans. Well done. So that's the flower of the run of bean. What about this one? Seed. What is it? It's a courgette. Lots of those down there today. What about this one? Oh, seed weed. Is this one a seed weed, is it? What is it? It's a weed. Can anyone tell me what it is? Groundsel. Well done. Fantastic. Next. And this one's probably the biggest controversial one of the lot. This is the one that sparked the arguments at home. Is it a seed or a weed? So can you buy it from a garden centre? Yes. So it's got to be a seed. And it's obviously a blackberry. Okay. So, it being harvest, it being a celebration. Foolishly, I've asked Nick to do a couple of lively songs. So, I'll hand over to the music group.
You are the ever.
Okay, so today's harvest appeal is in two forms. Firstly, we've got the opportunity to give some money to Tear Fund, who this year are supporting Nepal. This is Mahama and her family, and she's a farmer. So our monetary donations will be going to Tear Fund. There are envelopes available in the meeting room, hopefully, if there's not food and drinks and stuff in the way. And if you'd like to put those in the collection box, then that would be great. So a little bit about Nepal then. So did you know where Nepal was? It's between India and China. It's in that long belt there. And it's landlocked. So they've got no opportunity to use any sort of water from the sea, desalination or anything like that. They are stuck in the middle. A quarter of the population live in poverty. More than 85% of people rely on farming and agriculture for a living. Okay? And almost 20% of those people do not have electricity. So I'd just like you to think about that for a moment. No electricity, no lights, no phones, no charging of laptops or anything else, no TV, no broadband, no phones. Some things are a blessing some days, aren't they? But no cooker, so you'd have to cook on a fire. Yeah? And that's 85% of people rely on agriculture. Think what this year's been like. Think about what rain we've had this year and how easy that's been to grow. It's not been easy at all. It's been a major challenge. So, we're at, Tier Fund are asking for monetary donations, and this is where the money's going to be used. So they're asking to pray for Myanmar, for us to pray all around the world. £41 could train somebody to be a farmer. And in the techniques, £88 would install an irrigation system. And £184 could provide a farmer, like Myanmar, with the materials to launch their own business. So as a church, I'm hoping that we can raise at least some of these monies and give to these people. Yeah, they are so much worse off than we are. When we come to celebrate harvest, they have no harvest. Okay. Our next charity is the food bank. The Kettering Food Bank. I don't know if you know much about the Kettering Food Bank. I don't know if any of you use the Kettering Food Bank. Maybe you do. So I've looked on their website, and Kettering Food Bank exists because no one should go hungry. So I'm going to read a little extract from their website. Their website says, Kettering Independent Food Bank exists to provide people with food in a time of crisis. Our aim is to meet the basic food needs for 3 days. However, due to the generosity of our donors, we are often able to supplement with bakery, frozen and fresh foods, as well as toiletries and household items. The average value of a family parcel is £103.73. We also help to identify and resolve the underlying issues that cause food poverty and help to prevent the dependence on food banks. If you are struggling and cannot afford food yourself or your family, please reach out to us. So that's our Kettering Food Bank. What a fantastic statement that is. And how lovely to see so much stuff that we can now give to them, of a whole variety of things. And it reminded me of Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 31. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, Depart from me, you who are cursed with the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Ooh, one more bit, sorry. They will answer, Lord, when did you see us hungry or thirsty or a stranger or in need of clothes or sick or in prison or did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did not do this for one of the least of these, you did not do this for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let us turn to our God now in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your glorious provision. For Lord, the way that you look after us, the way that you care for us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share that love with others. Whether it be by monetary offerings, or whether it be by gifts brought in. Lord, we pray for those in need in Nepal. We pray for the water, Lord, that they need so desperately. And that we pray for the provision that Tear Fund are able to provide for them, Lord. For the gifts that we give, that they may be turned into useful things for those people. And Lord, we thank you for the Kettering Food Bank, for the work that they do, for the care that they show in our community. Lord, we think of our world, and we just turn that over to you, Lord. There are so many things that we look at and despair, Lord. The war in Ukraine. Lord, we think of all the people there and their suffering, and we would ask that your caring hand will be with them. We ask that they would know our love for them, Lord, and our care for them. We think of the droughts, Lord, and the floods, and the fires, and the famine. So many things around the world, Lord. So many extremes. So many unprecedented things. And we just ask that you would be in those situations. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our Queen and our new King. We pray for their family, Lord, in this time of mourning. We pray that you will be with them and that people will see just how much the Queen gave over 70 years, Lord, and what an inspiration she has been to so many people. And we give thanks for that. We pray for our town, Lord, for the people who need help and the people that you will send to us. As a church, Lord, we pray for those who will come, and that we pray that, Lord, we will be able to meet them and greet them with open arms. We pray too for our church, Lord, for our deacons and for our new minister in training and for his family. Lord, this is such a transitional time for them. We pray that you will be with them and bless them. It's going to be a difficult time, Lord, and we just hope that you'll be with them. Well, we know that you'll be with them, Lord, but we hope that we're able to help in that as well. Show us how we can serve and help them to serve us and to serve you. Lord, we give you thanks for healing for Sophie, Maxine's granddaughter. And we just thank you, Lord, for that tremendous healing that you've given them. For the infection that was in the bone, Lord, that the antibiotics and our prayers healed, Lord, and saved her from a surgery, from a quite extensive surgery, Lord, where bone would be cut away. She's now at home, and Lord, we give you thanks for that healing. We think too of Marion Haygate. Lord, we ask that you will be with her, comfort her, and know that our prayers surround her for her cancelled operation. And we pray that that operation can happen again soon. We pray for Beck, who's waiting her biopsies, Lord, and we pray for a positive result and for your care. And Lord, how lovely to see Avril in the congregation, and we just lift her to you now. We think too of schools and colleges, Lord, for our children who have returned and for universities who will be returning. Lord, we pray that you will be with them. Difficult times at school, Lord, college and university. We pray that you will be in every situation. And Lord, I pray for all those unwell in our congregation, those that haven't said or told anyone. But you know who they are, Lord, and we lift them to you in our prayers now. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading this morning is again taken from Matthew. And again, on a harvest theme, it's the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him. Sorry, I've started at the start. I should have started further down. I'll start further down. We're going from 13, 1 to 9. No, I was right. I do apologise. I've got to find where I'm going to. There we go. So, we'll start that again. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all of the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times that which was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay. I'm going to take control now, which is good or bad, I'm not sure. We'll find out. Okay, so that's the parable of the sower. So I want us to look at a year in the allotment against a year in the church. So what do we do first? We've got to sow some seed. And I've got to turn a page. So we've got to sow some seed. What do we need to do? First thing we need to do is we need to prepare that soil. So when? When do we sow the seed? When do we sow the seed at the allotment? Spring. Thank you. So we sow it in spring. What about in the church? When should we be sowing the seed in the church? All the time. Very different, isn't it? So when we're at the allotment, there's a very specific time we need to sow the seed. But when we're at the church, we need to prepare the ground and sow the seed all the time. How deep do we need to sow the seed? So at the allotment, it's normally an exact depth for each crop. Yes? But what about in the church? How deep do we need to sow the seed in the church? Any depth. Absolutely any depth. So far, it's nice and easy. The allotment sounds very difficult, but this sounds nice and easy. So, when should we sow the seed? Any time. How deep? Any depth. We're living in unprecedented times at the minute. We've had a pandemic. We've had droughts. We've had fires. We've got an energy crisis. To be honest with you, it is unprecedented. So we've got a lot of people that need our care and our attention. What should the soil be like? We've just read a parable. The shallow soil was no good. It withered and died. In the allotment, we would sow our seeds in very rich soil if we could. And we've got to put a lot of work into that soil to make it fruitful and worthwhile. I watched something this morning on the telly that said they took one trowel full of soil and there are more living organisms in that trowel full of soil than there are people in the world. How rich is that soil? How rich is our church soil? Yeah, every day we need to live as people who provide an example for others. The old saying, mañana, isn't good enough anymore. Tomorrow never comes. We often are guilty of being too busy. Too busy to sow that seed. Too busy to prepare the soil. What happens if we're late sowing the seed? Well, down the allotment, that means you might not get a crop. It might fail. Some things you can sow later, some things you can sow twice. But some things are very specific, and if you don't sow them at the right time, they fail. What about in the church? What about if we're late sowing the seed in the church? What's going to happen there? If we miss that opportunity to sow the seed, then we miss the opportunity to share God's love with others. How great is it to know that God is in our lives? Don't we want to share that? Don't we need to sow that seed? Don't be late. Fortunately, down the allotment, I've got a packet of seeds, and there's a lot of instructions on the back. When to sow it, how deep to sow it, when to harvest, how to care for it. What about the church? Well, we've got the Word of God. We've got that Bible that tells us and instructs us on what we should do and how we should go about life. Okay, so that's the seed. We've sown the seed. What's next? Tending and watering. So how often should we water? Down the allotment, be watered daily, even twice a day. Runner beans, for example, need a lot of water. Carrots. Microphone's not working. I'm being waved at. Hello! Still on. It's not coming through. It's back again. Okay. Stand still. Oh. I can't do it. Sorry. I'm not good at standing still. So where were we? How often should we water? Quite a lot down the allotment for certain things. Don't need to stand there, so you can get both. But some things don't need a lot of water. Something like carrots or parsnips. I don't know if you've ever tried to grow those, but they don't need a lot of water. If you water them too much, you get very short carrots. If they're left to go and find the water, the roots go down deep and they find the water and you get long, nicer carrots. But what about the church? How often do we need to water at the church? All the time, every day. Without the word of God and the fellowship of others, we will not grow. Neither will anyone that comes to us. We need to be part of a house group or part of the church, and we need to receive that living water that only Christ can give us. What's involved in tending and caring for the plants? So down the allotment, we need to weed. They all need to be cared for. They need to be looked after. Quite often, we have new people come and join the allotments, and they take an allotment on, and they think they can put the seed in at the start of the year and turn up now and harvest. Wrong. Very, very wrong. Because unless you can eat weeds, you are going to go hungry. So, how often do we tend and water in the church? And what's involved in tending and watering? It's the same in the church as it is down the allotment. We've got to be there all the time. We need to be looking after the new Christians and not leaving them to their own devices. We need to show them how to behave so that they're not choked by the weeds or the world. And we need to commit to be part of that work daily. The church does a lot of things. It's going to be doing a lot more things now we've got a new minister in training. And we need to commit to that guy there, because he's going to do loads of things. And if he's here on his own, it's not going to be successful. We need to come, tend and water and support him. Okay? And I include myself in that. It's always easy to find something else to do. I've got to go and do this. I've promised to do that for somebody, so I can't be there. We need to make that commitment if we're going to tend and water this church. Fertilise the soil. So down the allotment, that generally is quite a smelly job, but a necessary job. Without fertiliser in that soil, we don't have good, rich soil. We don't have all those things growing in it that provide all the goodness, the minerals for growth. What about in the church then? With regard to the church, we need to ensure that new Christians are fed with the word of God and helped to understand what it is to be a Christian in today. Is that gone again? Christian in today's world. That means we need to commit to the church and the things it does. And we need to make that commitment to support our minister in training. Okay, pest control. Pardon? I'm not going to answer that one, Jenny. That's for our new minister in training. And our deacons. Yes, quickly, moving on. So we've got the parable of the weeds there. I'm not going to read that one. You guys can read that at home. I'll ask you to read that at home. So the first thing we've got to do is spot the problem. Down the allotment, that's easy if we're there. If we're not there, we can't spot that problem. Black fly, club root, difficult to spot club root. But we need to spot those problems. How do we spot those problems in the church? It's very much the same. We need to be ever vigilant for those problems. They will come. We will have pests, problems in the church. But I promise I'll leave later. No. We will have those problems and those pests. It's about how we spot them to start with. Oh, too far. So, we've spotted them. Do we spray or not? I'm being waved at again. Am I gone again? I'll have to stand still now. It's very unusual that people say they can't hear me. So I don't normally need a microphone. But there we go. I'll have the microphone. Is that better? Much better. Okay. So spray or not spray? There is this big question down the allotment. Do we use chemicals? Do we not use chemicals? How do we deal with those things? Is that me or a hearing aid? Okay. So, in the church, what do we do? What do we do with those problems? Galatians talks about the armour of God, and we need to put that armour on every day. If we don't, then just like the allotment, the pests will get the better of us. If we don't put that armour on, if we don't take that breastplate, that helmet, and that word of God, the sword, then we are going to be troubled by these pests. Preventative or complementary planting. So what does that mean? So down the allotment, sorry I keep saying that, but at the allotment we can plant things that complement each other and keep the pests away. And carrots are my favourite. So with carrots we have this lovely pest, the carrot fly. And he likes to get into the top of the carrot and eat down. And he gets to those carrots by the smell. He can smell a carrot up to a mile away. Incredible. And they live in the hedgerows. So, if we plant onions around those carrots, that masks the smell. Or marigolds around that masks the smell. Sorry, I'm going to have to stand here now, aren't I? So if we plant onions around those carrots or marigolds, that masks that smell. And the carrot fly don't know. The minute you touch the carrot, that smell is given off. The carrots can't help it, but the fly knows where they are. And he comes and he ruins those carrots. And that's just like the church that we live in. If we are not complementary with each other, and I don't mean saying, wow, you look lovely today, but if we don't actually work together as a church, those pests are going to get in. We need to rely on each other as a church, and we need to stand together. My other interesting fact about the carrot fly that I've got to share is if you put a barrier round your carrots 18 inches high, they will be fine. Why? The carrot fly cannot fly any higher than that. It's the only fly I've ever come across that gets vertigo. I don't understand. Google it when you get home if you don't believe me. They cannot fly very high. So if you put a barrier around those carrots, they're safe. And that's what we need to do around the church, around our new Christians, when they come to join us, we need to put a barrier around them. We need to surround them with God's love, and they'll be safe. The important thing is to make sure that we don't forget it's not me that makes it grow. It's not you that makes it grow. It's God. I can't make a seed grow. I've had a seed in my hand for days and it won't grow. Nothing I can do can turn these little seeds into those beans down there. I've tried. All I can do is plant them. It's God that makes them grow. And that's the same with the church. All we can do is sow the seeds. All we can do is tell people of Christ and his love for them. We can't make that change inside of them. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So don't be afraid, in other words. I can't make people become a Christian. All I can do is tell them what I know. Finally, the harvest.
When should we harvest? Again, down the allotment, that can vary. We can start picking things from February. We can have rhubarb in February. Lovely. Right the way through. All year we can pick down the allotment. All year we can pick in the church at home. So they are very similar in that respect. We can harvest all the year round. How should we harvest? Down the allotment, do we pick each crop? They all come in different ways. Some we have to dig up, some we have to pull, some are the plants themselves. There's no single way to harvest a crop. And that's the same in the church. There's no single way to bring somebody to Christ. They are all harvested in different ways, by the Lord, not by us. Only the Lord will make that change inside them. Only he can help them to see. We need to sow the seed. We need to prepare. We need to tend and water and keep our eyes out for pests. But only God can make that change. What if the crop fails? Down the allotment, we dig it up, we put it in the compost, we start again. Now, we can't do that in the church if the crop... It's not a good idea. We can't. So, what do we do in the church? We don't give up. That's certainly what we do. It's not for us to make things grow. That crop may fail, but it might be successful the next time. It might be successful in a year's time, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. There are people in this church that will testify to that. They may not have come to know God straight away. It's taken a long time, and we need to remember that. And we need to keep going at people. Just because it didn't work this time doesn't mean we write things off and we put them in the compost heap. What about if we get a glut? Down the allotment, if we get a glut, we tend to share it with everybody. And you'll get courgettes and runner beans and everybody can have plenty and there's loads to share. What about if we get a glut in the church? Thank God. End of story. So yes, if we get a glut, that's fantastic. So what does it take for us to grow a successful harvest? A successful crop. It takes commitment. So that means we've got to be committed to this church. Same as I'm committed to the allotment, we've all got to be committed to this church. To that man there, to the deacons, and to everything that we do. It's going to take time. And that means a commitment from us. We've got to commit our time and our efforts to this church if we're going to see a successful harvest. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder with each other and not find excuses to avoid the work. We've got this new minister in training, and it's my prayer, and it was my prayer at the start as well, that all of us will stand behind him. This is our opportunity. This is the opportunity to plant and harvest in Desborough. What happens if we do nothing? Sorry, I can't get too far away from it either. What happens if we do nothing? I've just got a packet of seeds. They don't do anything. That's not going to feed me. I can't give that away. I certainly don't need to harvest it. I've got a lot of time on my hands, but nothing else is going to happen. Let's go back. That one. There we go. So the church will slowly fail if we do nothing. God will find another way and we'll be left behind. In our house group, we've been studying Esther. And I'd just like to read Esther 4, 12 to 14 to you. It's not going to come up on the screen. So a bit of the background of Esther. She'd been asked to take on the role as queen. She'd been successfully appointed as queen. But it's a very different world to the queen that we had. The queen there was very much subservient to the king, and there was a plot to get rid of the Jewish people. But Esther was in a position where she could do something about it. So Esther 4, 12 to 14. I'll come this way. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. So Esther found herself in a position where she needed to act. And if she wasn't going to act, God was going to find somebody else, another way around that. And we're the same. We need to do something in Desborough. There's a lot of empty seats here. Maybe that's because I'm stood in. No, maybe not. There's a lot of empty seats here. We've got a lot of room for people, and even more up the top. We need to do something about this. We need to go and take this message to the church and to the, sorry, from the church to Desborough. We need to see these seats filled. We all have good years and bad years. Down the allotment, that's always the case. But it's the case with the church as well. Not every seed is successful. And we need to think again. Plan and sow new seed in its place. Not every idea or plan will work. What can I say if we don't support them and get involved? They definitely won't work. And God will find another way to fulfill his purpose, just as he told Esther. Oh, no, wrong way. Brian. Our next hymn is The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice. seated. So closing thoughts then. And I'm conscious of the time because several people have tapped their watches and looked at me. So closing thoughts. What have you heard today? You've heard a lot about the allotment, and I apologise for that because you've come to church. But hopefully you've heard a lot about the church. Hopefully you've heard a lot about what we need to do. We need to sow the seed. We need a harvest. We have a new minister in training, as I keep saying. We're entering a new season in the church. We must get involved in what God is calling us to do. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder with him in the work ahead if we wish to see a harvest. If not, we'll still remain seeds in the packet. Never reaching our full potential or helping others to find and follow Jesus. It is my prayer, and it was my prayer at the start of this service, that God would touch your hearts and speak to you today. If he has, then I encourage you to share that with someone else here today. There are people who will pray with you, if you wish, or find somebody you trust and talk to them. In order for Desborough Church to grow, we need to plant, tend, and harvest for the Lord. And it starts with you and me. Let us pray. Lord God, we've come here today to listen to you, not me. People have come to hear you. And I pray that they have heard you. I can't sow the seed and plant the seed in their hearts, Lord, and make it grow. That's you. And Lord, I pray if that has happened, then they will talk to people today and ask some questions. Find out some more. Lord, I pray that we'll go away from here now and remember these words and remember what you want us to do, Lord. Some of us are going to stay for a meal now and share, Lord, and that's fantastic. Others won't stay. They will be leaving, Lord, and I just pray for them that you'll go with them, that they may have heard your words today, and that we can start to sow, tend, and harvest for you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Our final hymn, you'll be pleased to hear. All things praise thee, Lord Most High. seated. So that brings us to the end of the service. I'm going to ask Matt to come up now and just explain what's going to happen next.